Our reading this morning is going to come in two portions. And the first of these is from the Old Testament and in the book of 1 Kings and chapter 10. So if you turn with me to 1 Kings and chapter 10, and we're going to read the first 13 verses of that chapter. 1 Kings chapter 10 at the beginning. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train or retinue, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their dress or apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, who stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir brought it from Ophir great plenty of amalek trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug tree pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees nor were seen unto this day. And the king Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. And if you hold that place and move into the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, and we're going to break in to read from verse 38 of that Gospel. Matthew 12 at verse 38, we read, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Amen, and may God add his blessing and grant unto us understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our worship from Psalm 19 at verse 7, speaking of the effect of God's word as it comes to us and is preached amongst others today. God's law is perfect and converts the soul in sin that lies. God's testimony is most sure and makes the simple wise. The statutes of the Lord are right and do rejoice the heart. The Lord's command is pure and doth light to the eyes impart. Unspotted is the fear of God and doth endure forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They more than gold, yea, much fine gold to be desired are than honey. Honey from the comb that droppeth sweeter far. Moreover, they, thy servant, warn how he his life should frame. A great reward provided is for them that keep the same. Psalm 19 from 7 through to 11, five stanzas. God's law is perfect. We read there in Matthew's gospel of the challenge laid before the people. A greater than Sheba is with us, even the Lord Jesus Christ. I want therefore to come to 1 Kings chapter 10 and to look at the life, the brief appearance of this person, the Queen of Sheba, on the stage of Scripture, to see what lessons she has and brings to us. And the way she speaks to us very potently and powerfully today. Now, a week today on New Year's Day, we were looking at the life and the experience of these five daughters of Zelophehad. We were particularly focusing on Joshua 17 and the way in which they came to divide up the land. And the very first person that comes forward with a claim is this man, Caleb. And he's staking his claim after waiting 45 years. That's how long he had the promise of God. He never faltered, he stuck by it, and he came and he spoke, and he claimed it. And in the hearing of the nation round about him as he spoke these words, among the people were these five daughters of Zelophehad. And so therefore, when it came to the tribe of Manasseh to have the land divided up and given to them, when it came to the turn of Manasseh, these five daughters were straight out there in the front. They only had the promise for 5-7 years. But they did the same as Caleb did. They came and they claimed what God had promised. And one lesson we got out of that was very potently this one. One person encouraging others in their faith. One person encouraging others in their faith. 45 years he waited. And that encouraged these daughters to speak. One encouraging others. And here in our meditation this morning, we have one challenging others. One challenging others. That's the way in which she is mentioned by our Lord in Matthew 12 in a reading. Sheba heard great things about Solomon, particularly things concerning the Lord, the Lord's blessing, the Lord's presence, the Lord's gifts to this man, Solomon. She heard it. She couldn't ignore them. She couldn't dismiss them. She had to hear him and see him for herself. Curiosity. Captivation. Concern. Challenge. Call it what you will. But Sheba made every effort to get to hear Solomon. She traveled a great distance to do it. The land of Sheba is reckoned to be away down there, if you've got a map in your mind, where Yemen is. Right down at the corner. 1,400 miles from Jerusalem. In these days, it would have taken 6 months to travel from the Yemen to Jerusalem. And it wasn't just simply two or three on horseback that were doing it. It was camels. And it was camels carrying a lot of goods and a great gathering and train of people. So you can imagine the kind of preparation that had to be engaged in, the commitment that is behind it, the motivation that led up to it. That's the challenge that Sheba has for us. A greater than Sheba is here. A greater than Solomon. The gospel has much more substance to it. What then are we doing with what abundance we have in our hand? A greater than Solomon has come. What is our response? We see her commitment of time. We see her commitment of effort. We see her enthusiasm. How do we measure up? One challenging the other. Do we let what Jesus says to us just slip out of our minds? Do we dismiss what he says? Just how important are spiritual things in our lives and in our assessment? What we read from our Bibles, what we've heard from sermons, what others have shared with us. The challenge that comes to us about what we're doing with what we possess. A greater than Solomon is here. So let's do something this morning. Let's first of all look at the visit and the trip that she engaged in. She heard of Solomon in a distant land, as we said. We read there in Matthew chapter 12, she came from the uttermost parts of the earth, indicating just the distance that she traveled, as I indicated, from the Yemen. In that place, she heard of the wisdom of Solomon, and she traced it back to and the blessings coming from the Lord. So she wanted to hear more. She set off on this great long journey, 1,400 miles, the best part of 6 months there and 6 months back. She had a great retinue of camels carrying great gifts that are listed for us there in verse 10. She came particularly, we're told, with her questions, verse 1. The word there, questions, means riddles. But let's not be distracted by that word. What she had was something in here. Something personal. Something personal and a great priority with her and to her. She dealt with these questions that were in her heart before she makes any comment about the seating arrangements, before she makes any comment about the dress, before she says anything about the way in which Solomon has set up the structure of his palace and such like. Before any of these things are touched on, the one thing that motivated her, that made her journey all that distance, the one thing was what she carried in here, questions. Why else? And there were spiritual questions, let's say that. Why else would she go on such a journey? Unless something gripped her, her life and her soul. The questions that she had were answered by Solomon. And everything that she heard and everything that she saw exceeded her expectations. The palace. The variety of food on the table. The wise arrangement of the different officials and ministers of state sitting round that table, each with their place. The way they were all dressed. We're told even the very entry of Solomon into the temple itself, there was something magnificent about it all. She was, and it's no exaggeration to put it like this, she was beside herself with amazement. We're told at the end of verse 5, there was no more spirit in her. She was beside herself with amazement. That very same experience and effect is mentioned. You go back just to Joshua chapter 2, verse 11, and very beginning of chapter 5, when the children of Israel came into the land of Canaan across the Jordan and to Jericho. Such was the effect of their coming that they just simply took all of the life. It knocked the stuffing out of these people in the city. That's what happens with Queen of Sheba. She was utterly overwhelmed. She is speechless. She could not believe what she had heard back home. She's now seen it for herself. And what she's seen is only a little, no, what she was told is only a little, little portion of the grandeur of what Solomon had and shared with her. In all of that experience of this woman, verse 9 is vitally important. What does she say? Blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. She singles that out as the sole source of all that she has experienced and seen from Solomon. And the depth of her appreciation is something also what we've got to notice. In verse 10. The scale of it all and the effect of it, the impact of it all on her. There was a staggering abundance of gifts given by her to him. There came no more. This is the way it was. She's top dog. There came no more abundance of spices as those which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Nobody was better than her, more extravagant, more abundant than this woman, this queen. So there we have it. The visit of the Queen of Sheba. So the second thing I want us to think of is, what's the significance of it all? Why is she mentioned at all? If you come down to verse 24 of the chapter, we read chapter 10 and verse 24, we're told, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his words which God had put in his heart. What we've got here in the visit of the Queen of Sheba, it's more than just simply one ruler coming to meet another. There were so many others that did exactly the same as she did. Why is she mentioned and set out as different? Oh, so many came as she did. So many came for the same reasons, to test his wisdom. So many came, we're told, with the gifts. They brought every man his presents. So many brought gifts to Solomon as they came. Why is she singled out? Why? Because she has a spiritual lesson and she is a spiritual challenge for us. And we're back to chapter 12 of Matthew. Take the markers. Take these markers from her life. The things that she did when she heard of Solomon. That's what we've got to do. Take these markers, her commitment, her enthusiasm, what she did, traveling, provision, and such like. Now take the markers from our lives. We've got greater privilege than she had. We've got a full gospel message in our minds and in our hands. We have the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Very well. That's what we've got. Greater than Solomon. How do the markers of our response to that gospel compare to the Queen of Sheba responding to Solomon? That's the essence of her challenge, one challenge to us all. So what I want to do now is to look at this gospel message that we've got in our hand. We've read there and we're confronted there with the fame, the riches of this man Solomon. And we're told a greater than Solomon has come. Very well. Let's remind ourselves of the one who is greater than Solomon. Over these past weeks, we've been reminded of the message of the angel. The angels who spoke about good news to all people because there is born this day the Savior, Jesus the Lord. And we've tried to fill out that message, the wonder of that message of the nativity and the birth of Christ. We've tried to fill it out with gospel brushstrokes. Fill it out with gospel pictures. We've tried to show the councils of eternity before the foundation of the world. There was this council between God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The way in which there was conceived and planned in intimate detail this salvation. The way in which there was the allocation of its implementation and achievement to the Lord Jesus Christ and the sufferings involved in bringing it all to pass. We've heard about the amazing scale of blessing that the Lord achieved and obtained. And then we're told of the way in which it's all bestowed upon every one of God's people. Freely, graciously. This is the background. This is the amazing, wide, full gospel picture of the good news of the gospel the angels brought. The fame of Solomon attracted the Queen of Sheba. The fame and the reports concerning Jesus Christ, surely that report should have an even greater effect upon every one of us, but especially upon anyone who has a spiritual concern, and especially someone. Remember what brought her there? She had hard questions. There were things that troubled her. She had questions in her heart. And these questions brought her to the Lord. So it is when we with spiritual questions stirred up within ourselves, we go to the one who can answer them for us. The good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. His fame, his reports. We hear reports. It's a message worth listening to. We linger on every word because it's something that meets our need. We're drawn, we're attracted to this gospel. As the years go on, any preacher is more and more and more aware of the responsibility of spreading the fame, the news, the wonder of the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are more and more aware that our only and sole purpose of being here is to attract attention to Jesus Christ. Not to ourselves, not to our activities, not to anything or anyone else at all. just simply to preach and to make known Jesus Christ. He is the second person of the Trinity. There were these councils and conferences and plans within the council of the Trinity before the world was, and in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came into this world. He became what he was not. He became a man, perfect humanity. But he never ceased or stopped to be what he was. He was and still is the Lord God, a perfect man. And he gave perfect and complete obedience to all that God required of him, something we could not do. There was a seamless life of love and obedience to God his Father. And yet he died on a cross, a condemned man. He wasn't the victim of circumstances or the plots of nations. It was his resolve to be there, freely, deliberately, willingly he went to that cross. On that cross he was mocked as if he had no strength to escape and to come down. But quite the reverse was true. He had the strength. And it was strength that kept him there to endure, to experience all that was involved in dying there in the place of sinners. This was the arrangement made in eternity. And it was love to God's people that brought him there and kept him there. He died. He rose. He ascended into heaven. That's the summary of the glorious gospel and the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in our hands. It's in our hearing. It's in our memories. We're told a most remarkable thing when you come to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter, the very first chapter. We're told this in verse 12. And to whom that is, we're talking about the preachers preaching this gospel. And to whom it was revealed that not to themselves, but unto us, they, the preachers, ministered the things which are now reported unto you, who have preached the gospel to you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. The gospel that these preachers in the first century were preaching, the gospel, what happened in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's what they were preaching about, what we're speaking about. But then listen to the very end of that verse 12. These very things are the things which the angels desire to look into. It is so amazing. The Queen of Sheba went to hear what wisdom Solomon had. The fame of the Lord Jesus Christ is so amazing. The angels want to look into it. The challenge, therefore, is there for ourselves. What do we do about this gospel in our hearing, in our heads? We need to be awakened to our spiritual needs. We need to be made aware that we're sinners and need a Savior. Because it's only with that preliminary work that we will see the good news for what it is. Listen to it with captivation and go and seek it for ourselves. The words that are spoken at the beginning of Isaiah 53 are so appropriate to many, perhaps to some of us at one time also. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the hand of the Lord been revealed? Who exactly believes what God has done? At one time we dismissed it. It's like a root of dry ground. It's got nothing beautiful to attract us. We just simply put it to one side as we do with a sermon. Perhaps even just now, we're just putting it to one side. That's the way we once were. But what we need is to be awakened to our spiritual truth about ourselves, that we need the Saviour. So yes, the first thing, the fame. But the second thing going on, what was the effect? The Queen of Sheba set out to know more. She wanted answers to the questions she had. And this brings us to something we've got to consider just for a moment, her motivation. Why did she do it? We try to explain it. She was singled out. There were many others. Verse 24 tells us there were many others who came to Solomon with their own questions to test the wisdom of Solomon. But there was something different about Sheba. Her concern was spiritual. There was something, we're told in verse 2, there was something in her heart. There was something that troubled her. She communed with him, with Solomon, of all that was in her heart. It was personal. It was powerful. It disturbed her. And it made her go on that journey and all that was involved. The motivation behind what she did. And we've got to take that motivation and apply it to ourselves. Are there questions that arise with you and me that unsettle us, disturb us? Questions that once they get into our minds, they continue to trouble us. Wherever we go through life, whatever we're doing in the busy routines of the daily living, they won't leave us. They're there nagging away at us like a dog barking at our heels. We don't have any rest until the question is addressed. That kind of spiritual question about our soul, that's the kind of question that disturbed her. Have we got questions like that that disturb us? She brought them to Solomon, and there was none of them too difficult for him. However intricate, however complex, however compelling, he was able to answer them for her. And again, we've got to take it a greater than Solomon, a greater than anything we've looked at so far, a greater than Solomon is now with us. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to answer the questions that are in our soul about God, about eternity, about salvation. Questions that trouble us and questions that torment us. Questions that we keep bottled up within ourselves and don't share or speak with others. Questions like this: how can I be in a right relationship with Almighty God? How can I be forgiven all the sins that I'm aware of that lie upon my conscience? How can I be swept clean of all that spoils and stains and brings God's wrath and judgment upon me? How can I be safe and secure for eternity? There are some questions. There are some questions that come purely out of academia. There are some questions that purely come out of theories. Remember the way in which the Lord was asked that very same kind of question. They came and they asked him, let's ask a question to test him about paying taxes. Should we pay taxes or not? One of these questions. There was nothing in here about it. It was just simply one of these academic things. And the Lord took a coin and he says, well, what's in the front and what's in the back of the coin? Give to God the things belonging to God. Give to Caesar the things belonging to Caesar. And he dismissed the question like that. But contrast that with something else. Go this time to Mark's Gospel, the second chapter. And they're all gathered in this house. And there's a man who's paralyzed. And they go to an effort, a big effort, the same as the Queen of Sheba did. They went to a great effort to put that man, paralyzed as he was, in front of Jesus. Jesus didn't dismiss them because of the mess they made of the roof. Jesus didn't dismiss them because of the dust that came down on top of them all gathered. Because it was a serious issue that was driving them. He spoke and addressed the needs that that man had and felt. Your sins are forgiven you. Then with the Queen of Sheba, then with the paralytic man, and now still, those who have a spiritual concern will have a sympathetic hearing and will have a satisfying answer from the one who is greater than Solomon. Hold on to this. Christ indeed has an answer for the spiritual questions we have. And Christ Jesus also explains, as Solomon did to the Queen of Sheba, so the Lord does to those who come to him. He explains what he will do for your soul. The good news, the powerful effect. One last thought, the deep thanks. Sheba, the Queen of Sheba, was filled with astonishment, filled with praise. Verses 9, verses 10, we've read there, we've reminded ourselves what she felt and what she said and what she did. Everything that's come upon her as she's met Solomon, just a pale, what she was told rather back home, was just a pale shadow of what she's now had in Solomon's company. And the thanks just welled up from deep within her. And the shown in this lavish and extravagant demonstration where nothing is held back. Nothing is held back. Deep thanks for the questions answered and explanations given for the things that concerned her in her heart. We can take the spiritual application so easily to ourselves of that very truth. Luke Gospel chapter 7, the very end of that chapter, we have there the picture of a woman in tears because she had experienced that so much was forgiven her. John 12, we have Mary coming and with oil anointing the feet of the Lord and wiping them with her hair. That extravagant demonstration, deep thanks welling up within her. We have Paul himself, gripped by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to him, Saul, who had done so much to make life horrible, terrible, fearful for the Christians, condemning them, putting them in prison, putting them to death. And for such a person as that, the Lord loved him and died for him. And Paul could never, ever, ever get past that love to the chief of sinners. He was first in the queue for judgment. He was first in the queue for condemnation. But the Lord Jesus Christ delivered him. Nothing, therefore, was too great to the Lord who had given so much for him. Deep thanks and appreciation for the fame that came to our ears And the challenge comes, what is our response to the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ we now hear? Sheba, the Queen of Sheba, had less truth than you and I have. She had less privileges because she had to travel a long way to get to Israel. Yet she came, she listened, and she found out for herself. We have a full truth. We have the great privilege of coming and assembling and gathering week after week, and it heard in our, the preaching in our ears time after time. What a great responsibility we have. And her life and her behavior speak to us and challenge us now. How do we respond? One day we will meet the Queen of Sheba in the judgment hall of the Lord. And the Queen of Sheba will point the finger at you and at me. And she will ask every one of us a simple question. What have you done with this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What have you done with this one called Jesus, the Christ of God? What have you done with this full and perfect and complete revelation, the wonderful grace of God to meet the need of any sinner? What have you done with this gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we again are exposed to the wonder of this gospel in our hearing. Dismantle every barrier for it reaching our soul. Give light to scatter our darkness and touch our souls and hearts to give life where there once was deadness. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst work in us, in thy grace and in thy power, to awaken us, to lead us, to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it all in his name. Amen. We conclude this morning by singing from the second Psalm, Psalm 2 and at verse 8. Ask of me, and for heritage the heathen I'll make thine, and for possession I to thee will give earth's utmost line. Thou shalt as with a weighty rod of iron break them all, and as a potter's share thou shalt them dash in pieces and all. Now therefore, kings, be wise, be taught. Ye judges of the earth, serve God in fear, and see that ye join trembling with your mirth. Kiss ye the Son, lest in his ire ye perish from the way. If once his wrath begin to burn, blessed all that on him stay. Psalm 2, from 8 to the end of the psalm. Ask of me, and for heritage the heathen I'll make thine. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and remain with you all. Amen.